This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! As the great basketball philosopher Rasheed Wallace once said, ball don't lie. And as many people said last night, committing a lot of really bad turnovers is a way to lose a game on the road. Hello, welcome back to the Drop a Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of orangeblitz.com, and we are up to episode number 23, the Michael Jordan of Drop a Dimes episodes. There will never be an episode 23 again, just like there will never be anybody quite like Michael Jordan, although Kobe Bryant was eerily similar in some movements in some ways. But anyway, we're back because the Texas Longhorns were on the road last night at TCU in a game between two teams trying to find their footing a little bit in Big 12 play. TCU entered the game 2-3 in league play. Texas entered the game 3-3. It was really another opportunity for Texas to grab a very important road win in the conference, and we know that those road wins matter a lot come NCAA tournament resume time on Selection Sunday. Road wins always count more than home wins because, well, it's harder to win on the road. You just don't really see it that often. Just ask Kansas when it went to West Virginia recently and Texas Tech when it went to Baylor, although Baylor's been playing really good basketball of late, which, you know, we mentioned that on the last edition of the podcast, just kind of looking over the Big 12. But yeah, the Longhorns came up short again last night. They lost 65-61. They have now played, I believe, five straight games decided by fewer than 6 points. Let me see if that's correct before. Yes. So the last five games have been decided by 6 points or less. And you could even, if you go to 7 points or less, it's been every single game in Big 12 play besides the Kansas State game, which Texas won by 20 points, which, go figure. Texas knew it was going to be in a lot of these close games. It was in a lot of close games last year. That's life in the Big 12. And they spent a lot of time during the offseason discussing how to be better on offense and how to win close games at a higher rate than they did. And here they are. They are over the halfway point. As it relates to total games in the regular season, they are 11-8. They are 3-4 in the league, and they are 4-7 in games decided by 6 points or less. That's not ideal, and especially when a couple of those losses were at home to Radford and VCU, and then another one against Providence. So Texas handles their business in those games. You're kind of thinking, 3-4 in the Big 12, not a good start. Not a terrible start. They've still got a lot of wiggle room to handle some business and make some noise in the conference and then stamp their NCAA tournament ticket. But, man, those home losses are proving to be an even bigger pain in the ass for the Longhorns now, especially that wasted opportunity at Oklahoma State as well, because TCU is a very respectable basketball team. It's a solid team. I know they lost Jalen Fisher for the year, who was out injured and then announced that he was going to transfer. But Alex Robinson's a really good senior guard. They had a couple of other pieces in there that were nice players. Kevin Samuel's an emerging big that's a freshman. I think he had like 13 or 14 rebounds last night. Got away with a couple of blatant travels, but he was a force on the glass. So on its own, it's like, okay, you know, a lot of people are going to lose at TCU this year. It's a quality team. But just the way Texas lost the basketball game, it's just a... We're getting to the point where Texas is finding different ways to lose close basketball games, and that's not a good thing. That's not good. You know, Oklahoma State, it was not bringing the defensive intensity in the first half of that game. Last night against Texas Tech, or excuse me, Texas Tech. Against Texas Tech, I just think Texas Tech was a better basketball team. Kansas, you had the final play of the game where the execution was just, and the defense wasn't where it needed to be to carry an offense that was actually really good relative to the competition and the environment and, you know, the expectations for that game. I think it's TCU. It's the turnovers. Way too many turnovers. And, you know, Texas committed 17 turnovers. So they turned the ball over on 24.3% of their possessions. And the even more maddening thing for Texas fans that watched and, you know, Texas coaching staff, I'm sure, as they go over film, is that when Texas didn't turn the ball over on offense, they generally did a pretty good job of playing offense. You know, they shot 34.6% from beyond the arc. Two-point field goal percentage wasn't great, but they were getting some looks in there. There were times when they missed layups that they should have made. So they were generally getting pretty quality looks on offense, but you can't turn the basketball over 17 times. And the worst part about that was so many of them were unforced errors. I mean, guys were throwing the ball into the stands, forcing, you know, pocket passes and pick and roll into a crowd to a big guy that wasn't even ready to catch it. Just being really loose with the handle of the basketball. It was weird. And it wasn't just young players or players that don't play a ton. Kerwin Roach had 3. Matt Coleman had 4. Dylan Osikowski had 3. Those are arguably your 3 best players besides Hayes. And they turned the ball over 10 times. You're not going to win on the road when your seniors and your point guard are committing that many turnovers or combining for that many turnovers. And it was so bad to the point that Shaka Smart benched Matt Coleman at the end of the game. I mean, who would have thought that, especially with the way Coleman started Big 12 play? He almost had as many turnovers last night as he had in the prior 6 Big 12 games. He only had 6 turnovers in those games total. He had 4 last night. And the weird part was, he and Courtney Ramey started the game by really getting after it on defense. They were getting on the floor. They were getting their hands on the basketball, causing deflections. Coleman actually ended up with 4 steals. Ramey, 3 steals. And it was an effort thing. It was a defense thing. I mean, it wasn't a fluke where they're just, you know, grabbing some errant loose ball. They were really making some things happen on defense. Well, Coleman just did not set the tone on offense. He finished with just 3 points. 2 assists, 4 turnovers, just 1 rebound, just really wasn't doing the things that he needed to do on offense in a situation where if you're going to win on the road, you got to have your point guard be able to at least be an above average player. And they just did not get that from Coleman, which was very surprising because he'd been so steady through Big 12 play so far. Kerwin Roach committed a really, really bad turnover late where he just kind of drove in and thought there was going to be a guy in the wing and just kind of threw one of those passes over his head to nobody on one of the final possessions of the game. You know, he did score 15 points, but it took him 14 shots to do it. He didn't attempt a single free throw. Texas only attempted 7 free throws against a team that entered the game giving up as many free throws as anybody in the league. And I know the officiating was definitely a bit iffy at some times, but I do think that was also a product of Texas's aggressiveness. I mean, there should never be a game. Excuse me, man. I am all sorts of stuffed up right now, and my head is just a congested mess. So I'm sure I sound like I'm talking through a snorkel or something like that at times. You guys are just gonna have to bear with me. If I watched that basketball game last night, you got to listen to me talk about it on the Drop in Dimes podcast on EAC.com. But Kerwin Roach should never play in a game when he doesn't go to the free throw line. Never. I mean, for example, take Tennessee last night on the road. Rick Barnes, you know, the old Texas guy. Grant Williams, junior player, one of the better players in the country. He shot 23 free throws last night. 23, because you know why? Because he's a really talented player that's tough, that's aggressive, and he's going to get to the rim, or you're going to foul him and put him on the free throw line. And Kerwin Roach is athletic as it can as anybody in the country. He's as explosive of a jumper as anybody in the country. And you can't have a game where you just don't even get to the free throw line once. His free throw rate in conference play is 18.5. His free throw rate in conference play when he was a freshman was 88.3. And overall that season, it was 67.4. Then the year after that, in Big 12 play, he was 5th in the league at 55.3. And then it's just fallen off a cliff. And I think that, you know, he's put in so much time working on his jumper and shooting the basketball, and he did knock in a couple of threes last night, a couple of big shots from beyond the arc. He ended up being 3 of 8 from out there, but he should never have a game where he's got 8 3-pointers and no free throws. Never. There should never be that big of a disparity between how many three-pointers he attempts and how many free throws he attempts. So in the days of, I guess, of us being able to think of him as a defensive stopper kind of player, I think those days are over. I when's the last time we've really watched a game, for the full game, and thought, man, Gerwin Roach was freaking awesome on defense. And, you know, this is a guy that said going into the season he wanted to be the best defensive player in the country. And we really haven't seen that. I can't recall many times this season, and I'd have to go back and look through all my notes and stuff like that, but I just can't recall many times where it's just like, wow, he just totally took over that game on defense. There's been some stretches here or there, but for a guy that's 6'4 with some length and super athletic, and then in the past has been just a total stopper on defense, Texas hasn't really gotten that from him. You know, there was a point earlier this season when Shaka Smart said Matt Coleman's been their best perimeter defender, and because he had been. Last night, Courtney Ramey was guarding Allen Robinson to start the game. I mean, because Ramey, you know, was going to say, all right, this is a challenge. I'm going to take this as a personal challenge to shut this guy down. I'm going to defend him the length of the floor. I'm going to have active hands. I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to be tough. And he did a pretty good job. He did a pretty good job. He didn't defend him the whole game, but he had a big hand in Robinson only having 5 points. He did have 7 assists, but he also had 4 turnovers. I mean, he's one of the top assist guys in the country. They're really, really good in transition and running their pick and roll stuff. So he was going to get some assists. But 4 turnovers and just 5 points, that's a victory for whoever's guarding Alex Robinson. And holding TCU as a team under 1 point per possession. They were at 0.93 last night. So, it just gets back to this thing with these senior players at Texas. Osakowski and Roach, the duo, were at its absolute best against Oklahoma. I mean, Texas really needed every single little thing they gave, and they gave a lot, man. They left it all out on the floor, really competed well, consistently aggressive, made big plays on both ends of the floor. That's the kind of thing you got to bring, though, every night if you're a senior in the Big 12, because if you don't, your team's probably going to lose. That's just the way it is. There's just not that many seniors in this league in the starting lineup. And if you are one of them, you got to bring it every single night or your team's probably going to lose. So Osakowski had his moments. I mean, he did have a team-high 10 rebounds, 9 points, a couple assists, but he also committed 3 turnovers. He had one of his missed layups again where he could have just put the ball up. I mean, could have just jumped and dunked the basketball. So he wasn't bad, but Texas could have used a little bit more for him on a night where the opposition had 14 offensive rebounds. That's a lot. And I believe the only players last night that were positive and plus minus were Ramey, Osakowski, and I think Hayes were the only players that were in the plus and the plus minus. So, and Ramey had 3 turnovers, but man, and he wasn't terribly efficient. He was 4 of 11, 2 of 5 from beyond the arc. But that dude, like, he doesn't have fear, man. He's got one of the description college coaches make about recruits that they just love. Recruits that they love. They got to get this guy on campus. Or they look for this type of player in recruiting. They call players a killer. Like, oh, man, that guy's a killer. Like, he's going to go out there and he's going to try to rip the ball from you every single time. He's going to try to drive at you and score. He wants the basketball. He wants to compete. He wants to be aggressive. Courtney Ramey's like that, man. He really is. He's out of control at times. Yeah, he's a little lost at times on offense and defense. But he constantly tries to make a basketball play. And he had 10 points last night. He had a team-high 5 assists, 3 steals. I mentioned 3 turnovers, 2 rebounds. Played 31 minutes, again started on a night when a lot of other players didn't look like they were ready to really have the energy and the drive needed to win on the road. Ramey's never wavered, not once. Even when he missed an open three-pointer here or there, he kept attacking and kept going after it. So it was odd that, you know, Hayes and Ramey, the two freshmen, looked like the two most poised guys on the floor at times. So Hayes, for the second straight game, had 5 blocks. He only had 6 rebounds. And I know some people probably looked at that and they're like, well, he only had 6 rebounds on a night when TCU had all these rebounds. Well, he was challenging and changing and blocking so many shots in the paint that, you know, by, I mean, if you've got a big guy that's challenging shots or blocking shots or changing them at least when guys are getting to the rim, it's going to leave the backside open for offensive rebounding opportunities, especially if you're playing with four guards or especially if you're just not at the level you need to be in terms of aggressiveness and urgency on the glass. So should he have grabbed more rebounds? Yeah. I mean, he's 6'11". He's the most athletic big guy in the Big 12. But he blocked and changed so many shots. Say that five times fast. So many shots. That it just kind of affected his rebounding rate some. So Elijah Mitru Long, again, just getting back to the veteran players thing. Elijah Mitru Long is a redshirt junior. Hasn't played a lot of basketball in the Big 12. I know, but he's played a lot of basketball in his career. He's played in the NCAA tournament. He comes out. The first sequence, he gets blown by R.J. Nimhard, who's a sophomore now? No, he's a freshman. That's what I thought. Freshman R.J. Nimhard blows by him. Next time down the floor, Mitru Long misses a wide-open three. And then the next time, they force a turnover. He's in the open floor in a three-on-two situation and throws some weird pass out of bounds. And then he gets benched. Like, at some point, he's got to start playing like a veteran. At some point, Texas needs to get some sort of at least poise and presence for him. And he did give them some of that in the second half. He had a couple of big buckets in the second half. His confidence was really flowing. He was making some things happen on both ends of the floor. But it can't be a half or half thing. You know, it can't be on one half, off the other half for a redshirt junior. And that's what Elijah Mitru Long's turned into in the Big 12. And I know it's an adjustment period for those guys that are transfers, but you got to at least play with some smarts and some poise if you're a fourth-year player, basically. So they got to get more from him. Jericho Sims and Kamaka Hepa combined to play 14 minutes. I actually have liked what Sims has given when he's been on the floor lately. He just isn't getting that much run. I think that he's had good energy. I think that he's held his own on defense. I think he's made some things happen on offense when given the opportunity. Hepa, 6 minutes. Did have a rebound. Didn't really do much else. Jace Febres scored 7 points. He actually had 6 rebounds. Think about that for a second. You know, that's one of the more underrated things about his development. Everybody gets caught up with the shooting, and rightfully so, because that's what he's on the roster to do. But he has become a really solid rebounder, especially when Texas goes to that four-guard lineup. You've got to have your guards fully dedicated to going after and grabbing the basketball. And he's got some size to him, and he really competes well on the glass. He started to put the ball on the floor a little bit more. He had a couple of big shots late last night to where he wasn't shy about putting the ball up. So he's quietly had a pretty good sophomore season relative to expectations. I think that he's been one of those guys that you can see the arrow is pointing up with him. You can see that also with Ramey. Definitely see that with Hayes. With everybody else, though, Coleman, you definitely saw it before last night. I still think it's pointing up. But Texas needs more of those arrows to point up. So, again, you're listening to episode 23, the Michael Jordan episode of the Dropping Diamonds podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com, and we are going back over Texas is 65-61 loss last night at TCU. The Longhorns are now 11-8 overall. They're now 3-4 in league play. They got to try to get to at least 8-10 in the league, but 9-9 would get them in the NCAA tournament. That's what they got to shoot for. And I think it's fairly realistic for them. You know, they're capable, as they've proven, they can play with anybody in the league. I mean, they play right with anybody. It's just a matter of can they win those games, and they've really got to get back to defending the way they were early this season. I mean, they came out and they knew they had to chase shooters off the perimeter to start the game, and they knew they had to stop TCU in transition, and TCU was doing those things very well in the first half, and it wasn't until the second half that Texas really responded to that, which probably would have won them the game if not for the fact that they kept throwing the ball out of bounds or to the other team, so that's or giving up a bunch of offensive rebounds. So this has kind of been the story with Texas. Here we are again. They've lost 4 out of their last 5. You know, they've lost 3 straight road games, including 2 games that were definitely winnable. And heck, the Kansas game technically was winnable too. They had a chance at the end to tie the game or or win it on the final possession of the game. So until they find that consistency as it relates to execution and just the individual players bringing the type of mindset and energy they need, which is something they talk about over and over and over and over and over again, this is what's going to happen, because there's still a lot of tough games remaining. And they go on the road this weekend to play a Georgia team who is ranked 115th in the KenPom rankings, but it's going to be a very, very desperate basketball team. They've lost four straight games. They lost last night on the road at LSU. Before that, they lost at home to Florida, at home to Kentucky, and then on the road at Auburn. But that's four. You know, their four losses have been the top 30 KenPom teams. So they're going to be desperate for a win at home. They can get after you a little bit on defense. They don't really force turnovers, but they're really good at percentage defense, 3-point and 2-point percentage, and they are really aggressive on offense. They go after offensive rebounds and they get to the free throw line. And Texas will have to do a much, much, much better job of blocking out and closing out defensive possessions if they want to leave with a road win. So. And they really need it. They got to get back on track, because after Georgia is a home game against Kansas, on the road at Iowa State, home game against Baylor, on the road against West Virginia, and then a home game against Kansas State. It's really if Texas is going to make the NCAA tournament, this is where they got to make some of their money right here. Is not necessarily the road game at Iowa State. I think we can all chalk that one up as it's probably going to be a loss. But Kansas at home will be a winnable game. Baylor at home, definitely a game they need to win. West Virginia on the road will be a winnable game. And then Kansas State at home will be a winnable game, which is followed by Oklahoma State at home. So this has got to be the stretch where they start finding some consistency and getting to the win column. Because if it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen enough to make the NCAA tournament. At least I don't think, barring some late season run and then some noise in the conference tournament. So... yeah, it's kind of where we are on the Texas roller coaster. And right now, Texas fans are kind of in one of those parts where it was an exciting dip at first, and then you just keep dipping, and now you're very nauseous and you want to get off the ride. Oof, been that kind of season. So that's going to wrap up episode 23 of the Drop and Dives podcast on theyak.com. I am Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com. Again, get to theyak.com/Austin. Check out all of our great content. The Ticket City podcast today was awesome, especially if you like Longhorns football recruiting. Go ahead and check that one out. And I'm very excited, as I mentioned on the last edition of Dropping Dimes, I'm going to see the James Harden experience in person on Friday in Houston against the Raptors. Harden will be coming off of a 61-point performance, a career-high performance on the road at Madison Square Garden with 15 rebounds and a comeback win and a huge steal down the stretch and a dunk. Like, this guy's incredible. He's incredible. And I'm so happy that and so fortunate to be able to get down there and see him in person and just get a look at just what he's doing. The way he's scoring the basketball and the confidence he's playing with is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And now Chris Paul has been upgraded to questionable for that game, Houston game against Toronto on Friday. So perhaps they maybe even get CP3 back as well. And then James Harden will actually be able to score some buckets that are assisted for a change, because I think like the last almost 300 points he scored have been all unassisted, which is it's just crazy to think about that. So I'll have my own personal recap of what James Harden looks like in person. On the next edition of the Dropping Dimes podcast, we'll have a recap of what Texas did or didn't do on the road at Georgia, which is a big game for the Longhorns. They need to win that one. And then we'll look ahead to Kansas, and we'll also go through some NBA discussions as well. So until then, thank you for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. And tune in next time for the next installment of the Dropping Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas. We'll catch you next time.